Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Hall. Today's speaker is His Grace Hari Prasad Prabhuji. Prabhuji will speak on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, verse number 99 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, I pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning, enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you dear devotees. Thank you Mataji for kindly inviting me here to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today is 7th of August 2019 and on the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Today we are continuing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, verse number 99. But before we begin, our practice is to perform Mangalacharan or auspicious invocations. So we will begin with Mangalacharan or auspicious invocation. Most of us know these verses already. So kindly sing along with me. Om Ajnana Timiranjasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tatmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam
Able to hear Mataji.
Hare Krishna, I think he may have dropped off.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, I'll continue Mataji.
Please.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Bol. Okay.
Prabhuji.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Treshthaya Bhutile. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Karine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Nama He Krishna Karunasindho Dina Bandho Jagaspate Gopesha Gopika Santa Radha Santa Namostute Sakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhasute Devi Pranamani Haripriye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Vipasin Dubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Pura Bhakta Sunda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 24, Verse Number 99
दुसंग कहिए कैता आत्मवंचना कृष्ण कृष्ण भक्ति बिनु अन्य कामना
वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग dusanga, bad unwanted association. Kahiye, I say. Paitav, cheating. Atmavanchana, cheating ourselves. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Krishna Bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. Vinu, without. Anya, other. Kamana, desire. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Cheating oneself and cheating others is called Kaitava. Associating with those who cheat in this way is called Dusanga, bad association. Those who desire things other than Krishna's service are also called Dusanga, bad association. We will go to the next verse, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number 100. Dharmah pravuchita kaita gotra paramo nirmaskaranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapasprayonmulanam श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर तद्योरिद्यवरुद्यते प्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषु विचक्षणात्. Translation: The great scripture Srimad-Bhagavatam compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva from four original verses describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can successfully mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of the scripture in a submissive attitude or service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any other scripture other than Srimad Bhagavatam. Purpose: this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2. For an explanation, see Adi Leela 1.9. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, dear devotees, before I say anything, I would like to first offer a prayer to all of you and a humble submission, because whenever any particular person has tried to speak something on such a subject matter as Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are trying to speak of a literature which is inexhaustible and which has originated from the spiritual world. So Srila Sridhar Swami, who is the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, has also similarly expressed his inability in trying to understand each and every meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Sridhar Swami, at the beginning of his commentary, says, Vaham manda matihi kvedam mathanam shiravarihe kim tatra paramanurvai yatra majyati mandara. So he says, Kwaham mandamati. He asks a question, a rhetorical question. Kwaham, who am I? He says, mandamati. I am actually a mandamati. And he is not saying this because he has to officially or formally make a show of being humble in front of everyone. He actually realizes that the subject matter before him is Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is such a difficult subject matter that there are so many meanings hidden inside that Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be impossible for anyone to understand it completely. So Sridhar Swami says, Kwaham mandamati, kwa aham, who am I? And he replies to his question by saying, mandamati, actually I am a dull-witted person. It is, Kwa idam mathanam shiravaride, and just see the task which I have in front of me. It is, I have to churn this milk ocean named Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he says, gives an analogy and says, Kim Satra Paramanur Vahi Yatra Majjati Mandara. This ocean of milk named Srimad Bhagavatam is such that Yatra Majjati Mandara, even the great Mandar mountain, will completely drown inside this ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kim Satra Paramanur Vahi. What will a tiny particle atom like myself be able to do in this ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because in order to churn the ocean, we might be remembering during in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is given, the Mandar mountain was used as the fulcrum for churning the ocean. And similarly, he is comparing, saying that even the Mandar mountain, when the demigods and demons, they started churning the ocean, before they churned it, even the Mandar mountain drowned inside the ocean. And at that point of time, the demigods and demons were in great trouble. So what they did is that they prayed to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord came to rescue them in the form of Sri Purmadev. So similarly, he says, now this big ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam, milk ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam is in front of me, and I have to churn this ocean. But I am a tiny particle. I am not Mandar Mountain. So how can a person like me try to churn this ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam? So then, somebody may say, then Sridhar Swami, you should not try to comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. But the immediate next verse, he says, Mukkaroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Deenataranam. But he says, I am still doing it because Mukam Karoti Vachalam. Because by the mercy of Shri Guru, even a person who is unable to speak, he can give big lectures and discourses. Pangum Langayate Girim. And even a person who is handicapped can cross over mountains. Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande. So, whose mercy is able to make everything possible, I pay my obeisances to Sri Guru. So, I pay my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, my Guru Maharajis, and the entire Kodiya Vaishnava Parampara, and to all of you who are also my gurus. So, in this particular verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are discussing about what is called as Kishtanga. The entire chapter, I will try to summarize, is 61 explanations of the Atmaram verse. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the 61 meanings of the Atmaram verse. After explaining these 61 meanings of the Atmaram verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking something about the different types of realizations which are attained by different types of spiritualists. And the verse, a very important verse, occurs twice in this chapter. That verse is Vadanti Tattva Vidat Tattvam Yajjyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Ekshagya. Last time I was speaking on this verse, we tried to get into some detail about this verse. That Vadanti Tattva Vidat, that absolute truth is one. It is non-dual knowledge. But even though it is one, different spiritualists, according to their different realizations, call it by three different names. Brahma iti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti. So some spiritualists call it Brahma, some call it Paramatma, some call it Brahma. Now, who calls the absolute truth Brahman? The person who is on the path of Jnana perceives the absolute truth as Brahma. Who perceives the absolute truth as Paramatma? The person who is on the path of Ashtanga Yoga perceives the absolute truth as Brahma.
And who perceives the absolute truth as Bhagavan, so the person who is on the path of Bhakti Yoga, that spiritualist sadhaka who is on the path of Bhakti Yoga, who recognizes that this absolute truth is actually the controller of all material and spiritual energy, and who recognizes the existence of all material and spiritual energy, that spiritualist is able to perceive and see the absolute truth as Sri Bhagavan. So, in this discussion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Atmaram verse, in further continuation, there was a discussion of who are the candidates who take up bhakti. So there are four candidates who take up bhakti as described in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana krishna arjuna artho arthati jijyasu jnani cha bharatarsham. So these four types are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter 16th verse. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana krishna arjuna. O Arjun, four types of Sukriti. Sukriti means four types of intelligent people. Vajante Mam, they worship me. Who are the four types? He says, Artho, somebody who is distressed materially. Second is Artharthi, somebody who is in want of some material facility or some wealth. Third is Jigyasu, a person who is inquisitive. And fourth is Jnani, and the person who actually wants to know what is the absolute truth. These are the four types of people who engage in bhakti. But previously, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said that Ei Chari Sukriti Hai Mahabhagyavan. So he said that if these four types of intelligent people, if they become Mahabhagyavan, highly fortunate, he says, Tattat Kamari Sari Hai Shuddha Bhaktivan, and they will give up these four and they will become pure devotees. And so in the current verse he says, what is the meaning of giving up these other desires? So he says, other desires means to give up this concept. If one wants to be a pure devotee, a perfect devotee, one must give up this concept. And this current verse which we were on today, verse 19, it says, what is Dushanga? Dushanga kahiye kaita. Basic meaning of Dushanga, basic meaning of bad association. And Atma Vanchana. Cheating, kaita is cheating others, Atma Vanchana is cheating others. There are many people who are on the path of bhajan, Krishna bhajan. But they are not able to attain purity in their bhajan. And the reasons are categorized into two broad categories. One is Kaitav, cheating others. Second is Atma Vanchana, cheating others. Sometimes one cheats others, Kaitav. How does a person cheat others? They cheat others because they do not have the level of realization which they are claiming to have. And when they do not have that level of realization which they are claiming to have, and then they portray themselves as an advanced spiritualist, at that time it is called as Kaita. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in one of his songs, is singing, गर्हित आचरे रोहिला मर्मज नकरीन साधु संग लय साधु वेश अने उपदेश ए बड़ो मायार रंग. इसे गर्हित आचरे रहिला मर्मज. इन आई वाज कॉन्स्टेंटली एंगेज इन द मोस्ट अबोमिनेबल टाइप ऑफ बिहेवियर. It is na karinu sadhu sangha. I never actually sat down with the genuine sadhus who are explaining the meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now what do I do? Laya sadhu vesh. Now I took the garb of a sadhu. Ane upadeshi. And I am giving instructions to others. I am making disciples. Hey, what a maya raranga. Are, this is maya's big joke on me. So this is Kaita. And throughout the world, we may see most of the religions that are claimed to be revelations from God. Srimad Bhagavatam declares them to be cheating religions. Actually, Sri Vrindavandas Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat has made this statement that Prithivite dharma, yaha kichu dharma nama chale, Bhagavata kahitaha paripurna chale. That whatever is going on in the name of so-called religiosity in the world outside, Srimad Bhagavatam declares it to be complete cheating. There is a reason behind this. Dear devotees, there is a reason behind this. The reason behind this is that sooner or later, many so-called religious philosophies become completely involved with materialistic tendencies such as money, followers, fame, etc. Now somebody may say this is possible even in Bhakti. Of course it is possible even, but it is not possible with the main literatures of Bhakti such as Srimad Bhagavatam. That nobody can read Srimad Bhagavatam and say that this literature propounds materialism as spiritualism. When somebody reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he will read this verse which we read today. Dharma prochita kaita votra parama. All cheating religion has been rejected here. Srila Sridhar Swami in his commentary on this verse of Bhagavatam says, moksha visandhirati lirasa. Even the desire for obtaining liberation has been rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if Srimad Bhagavatam is rejecting all these so-called inferior desires, it means that Srimad Bhagavatam is propounding what is the absolute truth, which is devoid of any tendency for cheating others or for cheating oneself. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam was written in Srila Vyasadeva Samadhi in his trance. And Srimad Bhagavatam was written because Vyasadeva himself was not happy at heart. Vyasadeva himself was dissatisfied at heart. Please try to understand. If the author of the remaining 17 Puranas is dissatisfied at heart after composing and editing those 17 Puranas, how can the readers who are reading those 17 Puranas ever become happy and satisfied by reading them? The person who composed those 17 Puranas was dissatisfied at heart after composing. And it is only after Narad Muni asked him some very difficult questions. Vyasadeva, are you happy by identifying with the body and mind? Tell me, Vyasadeva. Are you happy with this? Are you happy by propounding other forms of religiosity as genuine religion in the other 17 Puranas? So Vyasadeva knew this was a rhetorical question actually. He knew that the answer to all these questions is a big no. I am not happy, Narad Muni. I am really not happy. After giving all these 17 Puranas, I have become unhappy. Why have you become unhappy? Because I propounded something as absolute, genuine spiritual knowledge, something which was not absolute, genuine spiritual knowledge. So Vyasadeva, still there is time. Write this Purana Srimad Bhagavatam composed this Purana, which is full of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this Purana, you should not write anything which is filled with cheating tendency. So Vyasadeva then wrote this verse, second verse. In the very second verse, he said, I am rejecting all sorts of cheating religion. Complete rejection of all sorts of cheating religion. No more cheating. Okay. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find that it is very difficult to take a text from Srimad Bhagavatam and then use it to justify a material. So this Kaitava or cheating tendency towards others should be rejected. And Atma Vanchana should also be rejected. Atma Vanchana means cheating oneself. Cheating oneself means somebody accepts something as Pramana which is not actually Pramana. Somebody starts believing in something which should not be believed in. And then based on that he starts what is called as Andha Parampara. Andha Parampara means a succession or a chain of a blind leading the other blind people into a ditch. So this should be rejected in very strong words by spiritualists who have no desire for any material comfort or any material benefit. So when we are performing our bhajan, we should perform our bhajan as brahmanas. We should perform our bhajan as brahmanas who are free from the tendency to trivialize or materialize this glorious path of bhakti. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in this verse number 99, Krishna, Krishna Bhakti Vino Anya Kamana. At every moment, there should be a constant check on oneself. Anya Kamana. Am I doing this for some other purpose besides Krishna and Krishna Bhakti? If this check is there, then one can be assured that one is not keeping oneself. Because what happens is that on the path of Krishna Bhakti, one starts out very enthusiastically. In the very beginning of the spiritual life, one starts out very enthusiastically. Because one suddenly receives a big burst of Shraddha. One gets that immense faith in the very beginning by seeing other devotees who are practicing bhakti, and one says, oh my goodness, so many of them are practicing so nicely, and they are practicing so nicely, I should also practice nicely. So this initial burst of Shraddha, it continues for some time, but then after that, one starts experiencing what is known as stagnation within devotional service. And it is very important that one should take active efforts to understand what is this stagnation, why am I stagnated, how can I move ahead in my spiritual life. See, I came to this society of devotees for one purpose. I came to this society of devotees because I wanted to achieve Krishna prema. This was my aim of life. Now, if after 10 or 15 years, or if after 20 years, my ultimate aim of life has changed, and if my ultimate aim of life is that I want to... Hare Krishna. So, if my ultimate aim of life after 15 or 20 years has changed from this pure Krishna Bhakti to something else, now my ultimate aim of life is, oh, I want some followers. I want some name. I want some pratishtha, some prestige in the society of devotees. Oh, I want some money in the society of devotees. Then I am having Anya Kamana. Anya Kamana means desires besides Krishna or Krishna Bhakti. And for this very purpose, it is very important to have Shraddha or a very fixed Shraddha till the end of Bhakti, till the end of the path of Sadhan Bhakti, till one achieves Prema, one should have very firm Shraddha. But usually it is seen that one has good Shraddha in the beginning of their bhajan, but that Shraddha develops many doubts after some time. That Shraddha becomes riddled with doubts after some time. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he gives a very important solution for this in his commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindh. He says, Shastrartha Vishwas Deva Shraddha. Actual Shraddha is faith in the word of scripture. Faith in the meanings of the words of Shastra, Vedic literature. That is Shraddha. But because many people don't have Shraddha on the scriptures, but their Shraddha is based simply on seeing other people or other devotees. So when these devotees, they do not perform well in their devotional life, the Shraddha of that person who was observing them also goes down. So therefore, one should develop what is known as Shastriya Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha means Shraddha in the words of the Vedic literature. That Shraddha is actual long-lasting Shraddha. See, we have been given this tripod, Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. And we have to understand that in the three legs of Sadhu, Guru and Shastra, the most independent leg is Shastra. Because sadhu is sadhu because they speak Shastra, because their conduct is according to Shastra. And guru is guru because they speak what is favorable to Shastra and their conduct is according to Shastra. If tomorrow sadhu's conduct or guru's conduct is not exactly in line with Shastra, we cannot say that Shastra is incorrect. We may say that particular sadhu is not behaving correctly. Therefore, amongst this tripod of sadhu, guru and shastra, the most important limb is shastra. And the other two limbs are deriving their authority from this one limb of shastra. Sadhu is sadhu because they follow shastra. Guru is guru because they follow shastra. The moment sadhu and guru stop following shastra, Shastra itself will declare them to be not sadhu or not guru. So because many individuals who are starting out on the path of bhajan see other individuals and say, oh, this is a really nice devotee. And their shraddha is based on the ups and downs of this particular devotee whom they have observed. So each and every devotee should gradually be introduced to the science of understanding Shastra. What exactly is Shastra? Why should we believe in Shastra Praman? Why Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest literature meant to bestow the best spiritual truth on all of us in this age of Kali? So this Shastra should be understood without any cheating tendency, paisa, or without any tendency for keeping oneself, Atma Vanchana. In my childhood, when I was studying with other children, we used to have a study of Ishopanishad. And our teacher was very particular about one point. If you have to pick something about Ishopanishad, you should quote the original reference from Ishopanishad. If we would not quote the original reference from Ishopanishad and we would simply say, oh, actually teacher said like this, in the last lecture, sir, you were saying like this, therefore I quoted it, then he would immediately point it out and he would make a very funny statement. He would say, Baba Vakyam Pramanam. Baba Vakyam means there are so many sampradayas in India who have made their founder as the only authority. and we say we believe in XYZ Baba and we don't want to know anything else. So he used to say Baba Vakyam Pramanam. So this Baba Vakyam Pramanam is a big problem because people start quoting a particular personality without supporting it from previous shastra. Whenever we quote a particular personality, it is nice to quote previous acharyas. It is nice to quote our guru. It is nice to quote other sadhus. But we should know that authority in quoting a particular reference is attained mainly by quoting shastra. Because shastra is the pramana which is commonly acceptable to anyone and everyone. So, for example, if I say, my guru says, the absolute truth is Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. If I go and say to somebody, then it will not be so effective. But if I say, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vadanti Tattva Vidat Tattvam Yajjyanam Advayam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Sakti. It is really nice pramana. Nobody can say no to it. This reminds me of a particular incident in my life when I was a relatively very new in my Krishna consciousness. This was back in 2001. So I was told by the devotees that we avoid all tamasic substances in food such as onion and garlic. So one time my mother, she took me to a relative wedding. So in the wedding there were many of my friends and other relatives. They asked me jokingly, why don't you eat onion and garlic? So at that time I said, oh, because our Prabhuji said we should not eat. So they all started laughing on me. But I could not quote any pramana at that point of time. So I was disappointed because I could not give a defeating response to their trivialization of my choice. So when I came back home that particular day, I started searching for where exactly it is that this restriction on onion and garlic is present. So I found out that in Manusmriti, 5th chapter, 5th verse, 5.5 of Manusmriti says, Lashunam grinjanam chaiva palandu mukavakani cha abhakshyani vijatinam medya prabhavani cha. I immediately memorized this pramana. Now it is like a weapon with me. Whenever I want, I can draw this weapon and I can slash to pieces anybody's doubts. Not only my own doubts, anybody else's doubts. So next time I went to a social gathering, that was after a year or 2 years, and again I was asked this question. They go, why don't you eat onion and garlic? At that time I said, well, not only me, you should also not eat onion and garlic. Because like me, you are born in a family of Brahmana, as we said in Manu Samhita. Lashinam Grinjanam Chaiva Palandum Kavakani Cha Abhakshani Dijatinam Medhya Prabhavani Cha. 5th chapter, 5th verse of Manu. Immediately, they are silenced. So they said, oh, you are a Pandi. I said, I'm not a Pandi, but it is very important to understand why I am doing what I am doing. And I am telling all of you why I am doing what I am. So after a few days, they would try to argue on various different points. And after some time, they said, oh, it's useless to argue with you. You just go on and do what you want in life. And I was free to pursue my spiritual life because by accepting Shastra as Pramana, it was very liberating because I could justify from Shastra whatever I am doing in my spiritual life. So dear devotees, in order to continue in spiritual life, one needs to free oneself from these tendencies. And many times after so many years in spiritual life, one is not receiving anything, any inspiration. It's often a complaint from many devotees. We don't get any inspiration in our spiritual life. We don't get any inspiration from our spiritual life because we are not in constant touch with Shastra. The moment we lose touch with Shastra, our inspiration goes away. And then we become dependent on these external materialistic sources of inspiration. I have said this previously, I will say it again today. And this point cannot be highlighted enough. Therefore, I am highlighting it once again. Physical purity is by directly touching water. One cannot say that I am pure physically unless one has touched water. Similarly, spiritual purity is by direct contact with the words of Srimad Bhagavatam and other texts. One wants to become spiritually pure, one should come in direct contact with the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as one who wants to become physically pure should come in direct contact with water. One cannot appreciate a shower from a distance. Oh, it's such a nice shower. Wow. Such nice water is flowing. And become pure. One actually has to take the effort and enter into the shower. It's not easy entering into the shower because it is, showers are often cold. At least in India, they are cold. So, showers are often cold. But once one enters into a shower and tolerates the initial tinging of the cold water, one feels purified at body. Similarly, once one enters into this purifying shower of Srimad Bhagavatam and tolerates the initial difficulties of reading Shastra, one immediately feels purified. And as long as one focuses on Srimad Bhagavatam and on achieving Krishna prema, till that point of time, one will continuously have inspiration in spiritual life. Continuously, one will have something new to think about. Navanavar Rasa. There will be newer and newer rasas. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya, Sulajjiva Goswami, it is said that if all the texts written by Jiva Goswami were organized in the form of verses, because he wrote a lot of paragraphs. But if those paragraphs were organized in the form of verses, the total would be 4 lakh verses. And it is said that Sri Vyasadeva in his 18 Puranas has also composed 4 lakh verses. So our one Acharya, Sri Jiva Goswami, has matched the record of Sri Vyasadeva when it comes to writing spiritual literature. Oh yes, but there is one difference. Vyasadeva in 17 Puranas wrote about many other subject matters besides Krishna Bhakti. But our Srila Jiva Goswami has written 4 lakh verses simply on pure Krishna Bhakti and nothing else but Krishna Bhakti. In one way, Srila Jiva Goswami has surpassed the record of even Sri Vyasadeva when it comes to composing literature which are directly related to Krishna Bhakti. Of course, Vyasadeva is Vyasadeva. Nobody can take his position away. But my point of making this statement was that there is unlimited variation in Shastra and it can keep somebody inspired for a long, long time. So, for example, one can take any particular section in Shastra and one can keep oneself engaged in that. Otherwise, what happens is that after some time, one feels completely dejected in spiritual life and then one starts cheating either others or one starts cheating oneself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very clearly said that Nadhanam, Nadhanam, Janam, Nasundari. But then one starts propagating the idea that cultivating more dhana is actually a service to Krishna. Cultivating more jana or followers is actually a service to Krishna. And one starts mistaking these two as genuine devotional service when in fact they have been rejected by the very founder of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How much more clearer can it get when he says na dhanam na janam? When he says na dhanam na janam, he does not mean absolutely zero wealth and absolutely zero followers. But this he says na dhanam, no desire for dhanam, no desire for janam. There may be millions of rupees which may be, or millions of dollars which may be coming by their own accord without asking for them, without begging for such money. And there may be millions of followers who may be coming without asking people to come or without begging people to join. But as soon as this tendency creeps within us that we will be successful only if we have dhanam or wealth, we will be successful only if we have jana or followers. As soon as this tendency creeps within us, at that very moment we have lost track of this Krishna Bhakti and we have started Kaitava and Atma Vanchana. We started keeping one thing. Why could we not remain on this path of pure Bhakti? Oh, because we could not derive any inspiration on this path of pure Bhakti. Why? Oh, well, because we got stagnated. Why did you get stagnated? So we got stagnated because, well, we do not know. Well, the reason is that we got stagnated because we were not in constant touch with Shastra. Very clear answer. We got stagnated because we were not in touch with Shastra. As soon as we come in touch with Shastra, it's like taking a shower once again. We will immediately feel purified. So, Srila Rupa Goswami makes one very important point in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Today I want to make this point, very important point. Srila Rupa Goswami says that there are many devotees who think that this wealth, dhanam, or this follower, shishya, is actually pure devotional service. And their followers also think that if I bring more wealth to my leader, if I bring more wealth or more followers to my leader, I am rendering pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Eastern Division, Purva Vibhag, second chapter, verse number 259, I am quoting the exact reference. Eastern Division, second wave, verse number 259. He says, dhana shishyavidhir dvarair ya bhaktir upapadyate viduratvat uttamata hanya tasyascha na angata. He says, dhana shishyavidhir dvarair ya bhaktir upapadyate. Whatever bhakti, whatever goes in the name of bhakti, by collecting wealth or by making a show of wealth and followers, he says, viduratvat is far away from Uttama Bhakti or pure devotional service. And he says, Uttamata Hanya Satyascha. Actually, there is a loss of Uttama Bhakti in such endeavors. Cha na angata. So, collecting wealth and collecting followers can never be considered as limbs of Bhakti. Because Rupa Goswami defined 64 limbs of Bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Somebody may say, why did you not say collecting donations for Krishna? Why did you not make it as one of the 64 limbs of bhakti? Or why did you not make collecting disciples for Krishna as one of the 64 limbs of bhakti? You had so many, you know, you could have included them in 64 limbs of bhakti, but you did not include them, Rupa Goswami. Why? Rupa Goswami is answering the question by saying, these two are far away from Uttama Bhakti. Not wealth and not disciples, but the desire for accumulating wealth and the desire for accumulating disciples. If some wealth comes by its own accord and some followers come by their own accord, that is Krishna's desire. But if we start desiring our own arrangement of wealth and desire, and if we start propagating that as Uttama Bhakti, sorry sir, that is not Uttama Bhakti. In very clear words of Srila Rupa Goswami, that is not Uttama Bhakti. And I am quoting the reference here, Shastra Praman. Nobody can say no to Shastra Praman. Dhana shishyadivir dvara irya bhakti rupa padyade viduratvad uttamata anya tasyascha na angata. So through dhana, through wealth and through shishya, whatever is propagated as bhakti cannot be called as uttama bhakti. Uttama bhakti, that lady, that saintly lady stays far away from such endeavors. So Vyasadeva also tried in 17 Puranas to propagate so many of these things as genuine spirituality. Oh, if you are not wealthy, you can become wealthy. Simply worship this particular deity for 7 Mondays. Follow this vow. For 5 Tuesdays, follow that vow. There are many, many vows given in other Puranas. And one may get the result also, but eventually one ends up cheating oneself or one ends up cheating others. Because here is where money has entered religiosity. And as soon as money enters religiosity, that religiosity can no longer give the highest benefit. So genuine spiritualist, without worrying about these other things such as wealth or followers, cheating oneself or cheating others, they are very one-pointedly fixed in what they want. One time, told me, I want to rejoin ISKCON. And I said, what do you mean by rejoining? You already joined. What do you mean by rejoining? He said, I want to rejoin because I want to have that same level of simplicity, that same level of faith, that same level of honesty, that same level of dedication that I had when I was new in this society of devotees. So I said, well, you can rejoin ISKCON simply by rejoining the club of devotees who are reading Shastra regularly. As soon as you read Shastra and you accept what is given there as it is without any additional interpretation, and as soon as you support all that you are doing in your spiritual life with Shastra Pramana, then you are very firmly situated in your Shraddha and you will always feel joyous in your spiritual life. There is a Vaishnava devotee poet which I love to speak about. His name is Harish Suri. When he begins his commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, actually Harish Suri, his name was Hari Baba Shastri. He had followed a great vow, and every morning around the age of 30 he started following this vow. Every morning he will wake up before the sun rises, he will take a bath, he will chant his Gayatri. After chanting his Gayatri, he will read 12 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. He had such faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll simply repeat the Sanskrit verses of 12 chapters. So every day he would progress by 12 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. And after reading 12 chapters, he would read the entire Vishnu Sahasranam. He would chant 1,000 names of the Lord. And after that, he would do cow seva for 1.5 hours. He did all this for 12 years. His plan was to do it till the end of his life. And after doing these all things, he would accept his first morsel of food in the day. So this severe vow, he was planning to continue till the end of his life, but after 12 years of such devotional service, which he never advertised to anybody, after 12 such years, finally he got a direct darshan of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna very clearly told him, you have my order to write a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Krishna addressed him by name, called him Arbhaka, my dear child. I will give you all the secrets of my 10th canto Leela, but you simply write. And in the beginning of his commentary, he speaks something about Srimad Bhagavatam. He speaks a verse. Anya vihiti mutat purana karane shreni virarohanam yato yasuna divaro pilavate param brahman manasa. Shatta तां श्रीभागवतां विदां न धरणीं कः सन्ति तीर्षुश्रये. He says, I am standing on this side of the ocean of birth and death. I have to cross to the other side and go to the spiritual world. And you see, I can see 17 Purana boats. You know what he is referring to by the term Purana. Purana means the literature is written by Vyasadeva. He says, I can see 17 Purana boats. But these are Purana boats. He makes a word play, double meaning. Because another meaning of the term Purana is old, completely tattered, or completely or almost destroyed. They are very old boats. And any intelligent person will not want to climb on this Purana or this old boat or these 17 literatures written by Vyasadeva. It's a word play. But he says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mega cruise ship, and which intelligent person will, is the newest ship constructed by Vyasadeva, which intelligent person will not want to cross over the ocean of birth and death and reach the other side by climbing on this grand cruise ship of Srimad Bhagavatam? So thank you, dear devotees, so much for kindly hearing me out patiently. Before I end, I would like to say that yadatra saustavam yadatra charitam kinchit vidvamsah purayanti tat yadatra saustavam kinchit tad guru reva mena. If there was something which was incorrect in my presentation, may the learned souls correct me and purify me. But if there was something nice in what I said, if you like something, please know that it comes from my guru general. It does not belong to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. What a beautiful session. You just transported us to a different world. Thank you so much. It was very nice to hear about quoting, importance of quoting directly from Shastra, and the most beautiful glories of Srimad Bhagavatam and how it is exceptionally wonderful. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you for this very enlightening class. Anyone has any questions?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. All glories to Prabhupada. This is Paneshwar Lakshmi. Thank you so much for a wonderful class. Especially, I like the way you, I mean, the question always arises that if many times when somebody asks, what if my guru has fallen away, then, you know, how do I stay connected to the movement and stuff? And you answered it so wonderfully when you said Sastra Pramanam is the primary connection. And if Guru and Sadhu do not follow, then they should not be followed. But Sastra is Pramanam. I really, really appreciated that, and I love that. It's a wonderful evidence of the importance of. I have a question. I could completely relate to your whole, explanation of how right in the beginning we're very, very excited in the beginning of our thought, in our beginning of our progress in Krishna consciousness, and at some point we become stagnant, and that the way we need to reconnect is by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So my question is,
right.
For me personally, so my problem, I guess, is I understand that, and I when I start reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, in other words, when I say, okay, today I'm going to read and I'll read a chapter, whatever, then I get into it. But then it's that first initial thing, why do I have a problem? Why do I have a problem getting started every day? And I'll add one more thing.
Why do I have a problem?
Getting started every day. In other words, okay. Let's say I'm reading today, I'm reading Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, it really is relishable. But then the next day, it almost seems like I'm dragging my feet to read again, even though I know that it's good once I get started. How come I'm having a problem getting started? And I'll share that the one thing that gets me motivated is that I have a reading buddy. And so we read because we're studying together. And so we read together. And so when I know I'm going to read with her, I get excited and I want to get started. But if I have to do it on my own, why does it take me so long to open the book? I'm sorry if that's... I'm being very honest, as you said. I'm very, very honest about my inadequacies when it comes to reading. Thank you, Prabhu. If you can answer me or encourage me to... Does that make sense? Does my question make sense?
Yes, yes. So your question is basically about the lethargy which overtakes us when we start reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Am I correct?
Yes, yes.
Yes, okay. So the first thing is, one thing I want to clarify, that when I say Shastra is Pramana, so see, Guru is also Pramana, Sadhu is also Pramana. Sometimes Guru and Sadhu say things which are very correct and favorable to Krishna consciousness. But we know one thing, that among these three, Shastra is the root Pramana or the main Pramana from which the other two are deriving their authority. So sometimes devotees may go to the other extreme and say that we don't believe in Guru or we don't believe in Sadhu, we only believe in the book. So, but that simply the book cannot complete the tripod. So we also need a person who is living the book. So in that regard, we need Sadhu and we need Guru. But when it comes to determining what is the original Pramana, that original Pramana is Shastra. Now, coming back to your question as to lethargy about lethargy regarding reading Srimad Bhagavatam and it overtakes us every morning. From what I have observed is that many a times we as devotees do not write our detailed realizations or we do not make any detailed notes on what we have understood from the Srimad Bhagavatam and where it is that we are stuck. Sometimes what happens is that we do a reading of one particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and we read it from one angle of view, but we don't try to explain that verse to ourselves or we don't try to make notes on those verses. If we try to think about something, let's see Srila Jiva.
Hare Krishna?
Yeah, I think Lakshmi Mataji.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it was me that got kicked off. So he's okay.
Yeah, I think either Lavanya Mataji or Lalitangi Mataji has to reconnect him. We have both of them on the call, so one of them can reconnect.
Lavanya Mataji, are you connecting? Hare Krishna Mataji? Can you connect?
Disconnected?
Yeah, disconnected.
Oh, sorry. It's Mataji, I'll connect.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Prabhuji, connected?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the line was lost for some reason. I'll continue answering this question. So, if the question was that about lethargy regarding reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the answer is, as I was saying, we do not make elaborate notes, and we do not try to go into the depth of each and every word. You know, we do not try to chew on each and every word like we chew on a sugar cane. So we should, the most important part of any verse is the word for word, which establishes the meaning of the verse in our minds and hearts. And after reading the word for word and after establishing the word connection, we should have a clear picture of every verse. And if we are not having a clear picture of every verse, of any particular verse, we should note down that verse and we should try to study it from other commentaries so that a picture will be clear to us. So, after clearing out all these doubts and making elaborate notes, one becomes satisfied at heart that, you know, I understood something new today. A very surface level reading of Srimad Bhagavatam may not take us very far and we may lose interest because the book is very deep and we are reading it on a level which may not be so deep. So it is important to make elaborate notes upon whatever we are reading. For example, if you see the commentaries of all the previous acharyas, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami for that regard, when these acharyas wrote their commentaries, there was no printing press in India. So Jiva Goswami is writing 4 lakh verses, and there's absolutely no sight of printing press or reproducing these books ever. So somebody may ask Jiva Goswami, why are you writing all these books when after 100 years or maybe even after 50 years, these manuscripts, these palm leaves on which you are writing, they will be lost. So the thing is that one write in those days, devotees would write because these were their personal notes on Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever commentaries we see today, most of them are personal notes of the previous acharyas. The 6 Sandarbhas, Shat Sandarbhas, Sri Jiva Goswami says, these are actually the personal notes of Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So today, this culture of writing down using a pen and paper is becoming, even more and more less practiced. Not many people are practiced to keeping a daily diary or a daily set of notes. But as much time
Lavanya Mataji again.
Yes, Mataji. I don't know why it's cut.
I think his connection is very weak, so.
So as much time and effort as we can put into making these elaborate notes, and Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples and his grand disciples to write commentaries upon his commentaries or commentaries upon the commentaries of the previous acharyas. This we should do every day. A detailed a culture of writing detailed notes on Srimad Bhagavatam. That will keep us very much engaged in thinking about the Srimad Bhagavatam from various points of view. And once the mind is engaged in thinking about these various points of view, it will be much easier to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. That was very, very, very helpful. Yes, and thank you. Like I said, from the bottom of my heart, that really is something that I will actually begin today. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very enlightening class in one sense. I have a couple of questions, Prabhuji.
Okay,
you had discussed regarding the tripod system of proof or evidence, of stating the truth.
So my question is, Prabhuji, so then the question arises as to what shastras are bona fide. I mean, if we go one step above shastras, which you were just discussing about. So many times what happens, I've seen in our own, you know, when I've listened to speakers in ISKCON, in our community, that people do tend to quote from, this is just an example, I'm not trying to say this is the absolute level, that some speakers do say that Ramcharitmanas is bona fide in some ways, and but then Prabhupada had, you know, categorically declared that Valmiki Ramayana is the bona fide Ramayana version. And if you can recall, even during the SAC meetings in Houston, Krishna Kshetra Swami very beautifully he delineated the differences between these versions of Ramayana, and also you know, what points they differ on. And in fact, he mentioned that the concept of the Maya Sita, in whom Ravana captures in Ramayana, is actually derived from Ramcharitmanas. So I've heard like many speakers say this too. And in another instance, which happened in another temple, was that speakers often quoted from Ramayana and Mahabharata, and sometimes these tended to be very much on very worldly kind of examples and anecdotes. And at one point, the temple president there, you know, he stopped the class and said that nobody will quote from any Ramayana or Mahabharata scriptures, and they will just stick to Prabhupada books, whatever is written in Bhagavatam and CC, and only Prabhupada books, because this is leading to a lot of confusion. Because Amal Bhakta Maharaj was there, and he said that, I don't know of any Ramayana or Mahabharata which quotes such an anecdote, which the speaker was trying to explain. But the speaker was very sure he heard it from his guru, or, you know, some authority. But Maharaj said, this is definitely not from Valmiki, or, you know, the authentic source. So then the temple president intervened and said that you have to stick to only Prabhupada books to avoid this confusion. So how do we reconcile when there is, you know, when people refer to shastras from, you know, which may be bona fide in some ways, or but not acceptable by everybody in ISKCON? And my second question is, I mean, would you want to answer this and then go on to the second, or I can just ask?
I would like to. I would like to try to answer this question first.
Sure.
So let me understand this question. There are some literature, for example, you said Ramcharitmanas, and about which Srila Prabhupada has made some very clear statements, and devotee speakers sometimes are quoting from literature. And there are often, within the Bhagavatam class, there arises some sort of a difference of opinion that these should not be quoted and you should quote only from Prabhupada's books. So what shastras are actually shastras and what shastras are not shastras? Is that your question, Mataji? I want to confirm.
Yes, Prabhu. What shastras, you know, should be referred to when we are speaking, you know, or giving a class amongst devotees, so that, you know, we don't have these kind of differences and we are on a common platform.
Right. Okay. So the thing is, first and foremost, my first request to all the devotees who are sitting in the class is that when we sit in a class, we are sitting below the speaker. And the reason why we give a higher asana to the speaker is because we expect them to speak something. Sometimes we may not like or we may not agree with what the speaker is speaking. But once we have given that speech to somebody, we should make it a point that any class, no matter, you know, what sources they quote, should not become so controversial that it appears as an argument match between two devotees. Because when we invite somebody and when we give them the seat, an elevated seat, And later, when we get into a conflict with that same personality over the sources that they are quoting, it means that in one way or other, we did not have faith in the sources that they were quoting. So, all such discussions about controversial topics should be there, but all such discussions should not happen in the middle of the class in front of everybody. Because others may not be having that doubt, but we have that doubt. So why put that same doubt in the minds of thousands of people or hundreds of people who are sitting in the class? So whenever, specialization has been in my childhood Sanskrit grammar. So when I sit in a class and when I hear pronunciations made by individuals who are not trained in Sanskrit grammar, I can say one thing, that there are many occasions, and I'm not exaggerating, there are many occasions on which I can say when even basic pronunciations are not correct. So when basic pronunciations are not correct, so what to speak of philosophical siddhantas? But I have made it a point that I do not engage in confrontational discussions during the class simply because I have accepted a lower position in the audience. So I have to give that respect to the speaker. But if I have a doubt which is very serious and I could not put trust in the sources that they were quoting, I will definitely ask them, but I will ask them privately after the class. And I have done myself also, I have done many times with some speakers. When I heard a few speakers are speaking Krishna Leela, but there is no background to no source. So I personally asked them, Prabhuji, can you please tell me where this was from? And sometimes they say, Prabhu, I cannot quote the Shastra for this. Then I very humbly request them, but Prabhu, if possible, it would be nice if you could quote some Shastra for it. Because quoting Shastra is what gives authority to the entire class. Now, Ramcharitmanas, so the Prabhupada said it has some impersonalism within it. So, and Valmiki Ramayana does not have impersonalism within it. So, what can we do about literature like Ramcharitmanas? Now, the one approach is that we can say no to the entire Ramcharitmanas. But the issue here is that this literature, Ramcharitmanas, is responsible for creating millions of devotees in the past 500 to 600 years. Millions of devotees have been there, of Lord Ram, have been created simply by reading this literature. So if we reject the genuine devotional sentiments which are given in this book, there is a phrase in English called as throwing the baby away with the bathwater. So we may be engaging in something like this. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan gives a very simple solution for such things. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, actually, he says in Tattva Sandarbha commentary, he says that in Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many places where there is Mayavad. He clearly says, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, in Sridhar Swami's commentary, there are many places where there is Mayavad. So, and I will give you an example, because somebody may ask, Haripasada said in his class that in Sridhar Swami's commentary, there is Mayavad. Where is Mayavad? When you point out, I will specify where is Mayavad. In Sridhar Swami's commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, first canto, 5th chapter, 20th verse, Idam hi Vishwam, is how the verse begins. Sridhar Swami makes a statement in that verse, is Jivopi Bhagavan. Even the Jiva is Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this statement is actually directly Mayavad. But Sridhar Swami has made this statement. So what do we do? Can we reject Sridhar Swami entirely within our society? But if we reject Sridhar Swami, we are rejecting the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani, Sridhar Anugata Karo Bhagavat Vyakhyan. So we cannot reject Sridhar Swami because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved him. So similarly, many devotees of the Lord have immense love for Ramcharitmanas. So what we do is we do not besides the parts which are Mayavad, such as the one I pointed out, we accept everything else which is there in Sridhar Swami's commentary. Similarly, except for the parts which are Mayavad, which are propounding Advaitavad in Ramcharitmanas, either we try to explain them in a Vaishnava way, or if we can't explain them in a Vaishnava way, we simply fold our hands and we say that, okay, this part we may not accept, but anything which is genuinely devotional, we can accept, which is not against the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta that we are currently studying. So that has been my approach, because even in Srimad Bhagavatam or in Sridhar Swami's commentary or in many other literatures, we may come across impersonalism, but our approach should not be to reject the entire literature because of one or two of such statements. And if any devotee is quoting any such literature, we should make sure that they are quoting something which is in line with the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And so even if they are quoting Sridhar Swami, but if they quote this statement, G.O.P. Bhagavan, then they should clarify that this is actually not Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, even though they are quoting a bona fide author and they are quoting a very bona fide commentary, that is Sridhar Swami's commentary. So bona fide or, not so bona fide or in the gray area, but whatever is favorable to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta should be accepted. That is what, in my discussions with the Shastric Advisory Committee, many times this point came up, and this is how I tried to explain to all the members, and this is how we discussed it out. So that is my reply here.
Thanks, Prabhu, for the clarification. The second question was, you said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtaka, his main eight principles state that, na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Extrapolating on that point, in Bhagavad Gita 1848, the Varna Ashramas are discussed, and in that...
Apar Chavachi Shi Boleta Hai.
Hey, Bhur?
Yeah, I think I get a problem with trouble. Lavanya, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, I'll see you again.
Bhagavad Gita 18.38, Varna Ashram is described.
Hi, Bhur Prabhu. Yeah, 18.48 verse. Prabhupada, explains the duties of, some contradictions to the nature of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, and Vaishya. Like that, he says a merchant may sometimes hide his profit to stay in business, or he may sometimes have to do business on black market. Like some of the exceptions, they're not always honest, and they may have to do some kind of, dishonesty to thrive in their business. So,
right.
Sometimes I have seen, there is a tendency to extrapolate on these teachings into Krishna consciousness, and I see that... sometimes I have heard myself that devotees say that it's okay to cheat for Krishna, it's okay to steal for Krishna, and they do give examples of some senior devotees who did that in a very mood of devotion for Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada disciples, and then they say it's okay to lie or be diplomatic in administration, and how far can we stretch these teachings of Prabhupada in this context, specific context. I mean, how can a Brahmana, a Brahmana initiated devotee still lie, in spite of being a Brahmana? I mean, especially right. in interviews with devotees. So I kind of tend to get, kind of confused and bewildered when I see these. Like, for example, I had heard one person who said that they wouldn't mind, gambling just to make money for Krishna. And, you know, like, how far should we stretch, or where should we limit ourselves when it comes to these, which kind of actually allude to the four regulative principles in themselves, which are the basics of our, our sadhana. So where should we stop, and, how should we conduct ourselves in this light? Like, in terms of administration, is it okay to lie with devotees? I mean, things like that, Prabhuji. I have seen also right. that many times they say it's okay to lie in business and like that. Like, if you can please clarify, right. it help me understand better.
Yeah, exactly. See, sometimes somebody may give such a particular sort of behavior and say that this is what is given in Shastra, or this is what Prabhupada says. For example, you said in Bhagavad Gita commentary on 18.48, he says a merchant has to hide his profit to stay in business. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam also says the same thing, that, you know, a merchant cannot earn completely by speaking truth. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Canto 7, Chapter 11, verse number 18. So it says, Satyang Ritabhyam. By speaking half-truth and half-lies, one has to earn a living. This is given in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that this is how merchants earn their life. But Srimad Bhagavatam never says that the merchant's life is a life of absolute truth, dedication to the absolute truth. So when we are propagating some ideas like that in the society of devotees, that we should try to get people's money, or we should sometimes engage in some means which are not so honest. First and foremost, we should never ever say that this is pure bhakti, or this is pure devotional service, because this cannot be pure devotional service, because pure devotional service does not have these elements of cheating other people of their wealth, or trying to make money through some shady means. So this is one thing we should understand. Somebody may be propagating something like that, but let them not call it as pure devotional service, because it cannot be pure devotional service, and it cannot lead to pure devotional service. And the Praman is very clear. Rupa Goswami, I am quoting with Praman, not without Praman, I am quoting with Praman. Rupa Goswami said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Dhana Shishyadi Bir Dwarer Ya Bhakti Upapadyate, that whatever bhakti is conducted by making a show of wealth, or by making a show of disciples, that bhakti is not actually considered as uttama bhakti. It's very clear, written in black and white there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So devotees may be giving such ideas out, but let them not call it pure bhakti. So it is not pure bhakti. At best, it may be mishra bhakti. I'm saying at best. And at worst, it may be, Krishna knows, but it is certainly not uttama bhakti. This is what I can say at this point of time.
Thanks, Prabhuji, for your clear explanations, and also your deep realizations and studies of from Shastra study. Please do come again and always enlighten us, Prabhuji, with your expertise. We are ever indebted to you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti koti janvat pranam. Chala Prabhupada, chala Gurudev ki jai. Thank you very much for wonderful class. And thank you very much for inspiring us. I always think that I read, but I forgot everything. I am not able to preach. But no need to preach. Just for our own purification, we have to read again and again, again and again, Shri Bhagavatam, Shri Bhagavad Gita, and just not qualified for reading Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I will try my best to read. Thank you very much for inspiring all of us. Please give your assistance.
Thank you. Everybody.
And thank you very much for all Krishna answers. Hari Bol, Dhanrat Pranam.
No, thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
I have a follow-up question, but I hope you don't mind if it's a little bit tangential to your point when you were discussing Shira Swami's statement that, you know, Jiva is Supreme Personality of Godhead. The question is this, you know, let's say that he was like almost ruthless with those who like even associated with Mayavadis. And so for this reason, I'm just wondering, for him to, you know, have so much affection for Shiva Swami, I wonder if that statement was maybe like taken out of context, or how, you know, in other words, how could it really be possible that Lord Chaitanya has so much affection for somebody who apparently espoused Mayavadi instructions? Yeah.
Okay, so I will very nice. I will repeat the question. That your question is, how can Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have so much affection that for a person who is apparently speaking Mayavad in his particular commentary? So I am not saying that Sridhar Swami is apparently speaking Mayavad. I will be very clear once again. Sridhar Swami is actually speaking Mayavad in his commentary. It is not my statement. I will quote the exact words of Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Tattva Sandarbha, paragraph 27. So paragraph 27, his commentary on Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan very clearly says, Kvachit kvachit Mayavad ullekha. In some places there is some mention of Mayavad in Sridhar Swami's commentary. But he says, Tadvadino bhagavat bhakto praveshayutum badisha mitharpana nyaye neva iti viditam. This is because there were many Mayavadis in the time of Sridhar Swami. And in order to bring these Mayavadis, also make them favorable to the path of bhakti, he did them according to a logic which is called as badisha misharpana nyaya. Now, when I heard this logic, I could not understand it. I had to do some research. The meaning of this logic or this maxim is that in order to catch a fish, you have to put an impure substance on the hook. So in order to attract an impure substance like fish, you have to attach another impure substance such as a worm on the hook. So similarly, in order to attract a Mayavadi into reading Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes you have to put a tiny tidbit of this Mayavadi concept in your commentary so that they will also agree with what you are trying to say, and then they will appreciate the larger message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pure devotional service. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan clearly, it's not apparent Mayavad, it is actually Mayavad. It is Pachit Pachin Mayavad Ullekha. It's actually in some places Mayavad, but he says it is according to the logic of putting an impure substance on a fish hook in order to attract an impure fish. So similarly, some impurity is added in order to attract people who are not exactly 100% pure in their devotional service. That is the reply.
So is it that is something like what Shankaracharya did, you know, what Shiva Shankaracharya did? You know, he was a pure devotee, but he did a similar thing.
Exactly, but Shankaracharya did it on a... Shankaracharya is, you know, more than 90% is Mayavad. Maybe, you know, you may find... But Sridhar Swami, 99.9% is pure bhakti. I mean, 0.01% you may find Mayavad. So that, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had immense respect for him, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that Sridhar Swami is a pure devotee.
Yeah, it didn't... That 0.01% did not actually represent his heart, right?
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much for that clarification, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Do we have any other questions or realizations, Prabhuji?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was such a pleasure to have you on the call. We hope to hear more from you. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ki jai. Vancha kalpatu vyascha kripa sindhu.
Patitanam
bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Prabhu ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.